It's Ego and Vice. This is episode 52 with Jumpin' Joel Flash and the Magic Machine.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Hey, welcome back. This is Ego and Vice, episode 52. And as I said in the intro, I'm joined by some friends of mine who are part of a ensemble, fantastic show, a great band called Jumpin' Joel Flash and the Magic Machine. Pardon me, I stumbled. It's like the first part of the podcast, and yeah. I already fucked up.
That's fine.
Hey, Zoe, I swore already.
Hey, I can do that now.
Yay. We have Joel Elliott, we have Robin Hodge, and Zoe Town. Yay. What's going on, guys?
Well, hey, Mike. I mean, you invited us over here, so
we brought donuts and cookies.
I know it's very nice. It's very nice when guests or my friends actually come in and they come bearing gifts, because usually I'm the guy scrambling before the podcast to hit the Shoppers Drug Mart and get the water, and it's like, God damn it, I forgot the coffee, and I'll always put the beer in the fridge, but no one ever drinks the beer. But I never really feel bad about that. Although Chelsea Miller from 88.5 was in last week, and she drank all the beer.
Oh, nice work, Chelsea. Nice work.
Yeah, so God
bless her.
Also,
they weren't gifts. We also wanted donuts.
Yep. Yeah, it was mostly like just running through Walmart, like, okay, snacks, we got 5 minutes, let's go.
Did you guys, those little donuts, did you ever see that old Jim Belushi Saturday Night Live thing where he's like the marathon runner, and he's like, one thing, and he was like kind of a bigger dude, and he's sitting there, they show like footage of him running, and he's like, yeah, that's when I won the gold medal in the something something Olympics, and the only way I could have done that, he's got like a cigarette in his fingers, and he's eating these little donuts, are little baby donuts, and he's just like, eating them, and that's what those little tiny donuts remind me of.
Well, so. That's how you gotta do it.
Yeah. So you guys are all musicians, and you're all members of the Ottawa Theater Group. I don't know if that's the scene. Pardon me.
Yeah. Yes,
scene. Theater group.
There's no one group. There's just many pockets that all kind of come together.
Okay.
Sometimes.
So you always got lots of stuff on the go, and you're a very artistic people. Robin, I know you that you're a painter.
Oh, wow. That's nice of you to say. I like to paint.
Uh-huh. You're a painter.
You're a painter. Come on.
Ow.
You paint.
Yeah.
You paint.
One day, maybe I'll sell something. Okay. We'll see.
One day.
That's cool. And somehow you all came around. Joel is like a renaissance man. He does all kinds of things. Yeah. And I've known Joel for years and years and years, way back in the bunny days. We won't get it in too far into that.
Rabbit hole.
My God.
And the way I met all you guys is when me and my friend Steph had a gig out in Wakefield. What's that, 1609 or
Cafe 1870?
1870. I was close.
I can never remember the number either.
And we played a vicious game of Jenga.
That was so vicious. That was the most amazing Jenga I ever saw.
Mm-hmm. Oh, are you talking about the tree I built?
The tree that Zoe built on a single Jenga piece, and the entire rest of the Jenga thing was balanced on this one upright piece.
Do you know, actually, it was just because we had been playing Jenga, and then the whole thing collapsed. Yeah. And then slowly I just started taking pieces and just like piling them back on top from the edges. And I just kept taking from the bottom and putting on the top until I realized the entire thing was supported by one piece.
It was the most amazing thing.
Honestly, the proudest moment of my life.
It's all physics and science. To all you kids out there, it's all physics and science. And in a vicious game of Jenga, don't cheat. Don't cheat at Jenga.
No, don't cheat. Don't do Definitely it. Not.
So that was the early days of the Magic Machine.
That was our first gig.
That was, oh, wow.
Was that your first gig?
Yeah, we were intimidated by you guys because we were, oh, no, the musicians, they know what they're doing. Band. Oh, my God, just act cool, Zoe. Just act cool.
Okay.
I thought you guys were the actors. I guess we got one over on you that night because I haven't known what I was doing for a long time.
We were very impressed.
Anyway, so as far as the Magic Machine, past the bunny days, and we're not going to talk about that, but Joel, I guess you are the brains behind...
The bandmaster.
Yes.
All right. So where did this come from in the bowels of your crazy, crazy brain?
Well, I mean, a lot of the songs that the Magic Machine has now taken up were written when I was still working for the man, as it were. The man, quote unquote. Air quotes. Yeah. And you know what I found, and I've been telling this story a lot lately, is that the commute... Like when I gave up driving, because, like, you know, Kim needed the car for other things, I was like, you know what, I'll just take the bus. Like, taking away having to concentrate on anything first thing in the morning like that, that hum of just commuting, I found it, like, really inspiring for writing. So I wrote a crap ton of music just sitting on the bus.
You've always been a songwriter, though.
Hmm. Yeah,
like
in
one way or another. Like, when I first met you, I knew of you through this other band, and you've just continued on going as you go, right? Mm. And I think you always showed a lot of personality in that band, but now you're really kind of falling into your own kind of pocket, and this is because I know, I don't mean to jump ahead and I don't mean to ramble, but I know sometimes you say when you post things on Facebook, it's like, you'll show, like, old, like, TBTs or, like, Throwback Thursdays, and you call it, like, there's Corporate Joel. And it's just like, who's that guy? Because the guy I know now is just very different. Like, what happened?
Well, I mean, like...
Living his best life.
Yeah, just live your best life, right? You know, like, throughout my 20s, you know, you go to school. All of a sudden, you're in debt. All of a sudden, you're more debt. And you just get into this... you just get into a habit, and auto is really bad for it, particularly for any type of white collar work, right? People are just working in places that they don't particularly like, and thus they're not going to be as productive as they could be at it. So it's not good for them or the organization for them to be there, but we get stuck, right? Anyway, I was in a point where I didn't need to be stuck anymore, so I just stopped.
So back in the day, you were balancing both that life and the artistic life, I suppose, mm-hmm. and you made it work. And at some point you decided to just say, you know what, I'm just going to go for it and just be not this person, not person, but I'm not going to do this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just going to follow the stuff I really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's respectable and that's admirable. Good
Thank
for you.
You. Thank you. Life is considerably more fun now.
Oh, for sure.
Considerably
for sure.
More fun.
And Robin.
Yeah.
I know other than being in the Magic Machine... One of the ghost lights, which I thought was really cool when we did play that show in Quebec, where Joel went up and played his acoustic guitar, and you guys were in the back doing the.
I always wanted to be a backup singer my whole life.
Did you, I know you're involved in the theater and your acting career. Did you do that first, or did you is this your first band, or is this your
this
first?
This is my first band
musical,
that I ever was in.
Musical.
Well, I did a lot of musicals when I was. Younger, especially when I was 16, I did shows with the Toronto Youth Theatre in Toronto, obviously.
in Windsor.
And I did Rocky Horror. Rocky Horror was my first play, like semi-professional play, and then Jesus Christ Superstar. And I always loved musicals, but I always did want to be a backup singer, probably because of Hairspray and the Supremes.
All the doo-wop.
Well, I guess, I guess, especially with theater, if you did musicals before, you were very used to being on stage and singing and whatnot. So this was your first actual kind of collaboration to say, hey, let's just throw this together without the theater and say, let's write some songs and see what happens.
And it's nice to have a steady gig, steady-ish, that we're constantly collaborating and creating. Every week we have a set day to just work on stuff and feel like there's a creative outlet, even if sometimes the acting is slower or...
Band practice.
Yeah. Even just, just band practice, a regular creative time.
And like, you know what, like, I've only gotten into theater, and that's where I met these two, and I'm sure that'll come out in the conversation as well. And I really liked the the dynamic of theater rehearsals, because there's a lot more people and it has to be a lot more organized.
Of course.
But once the show's done, it's gone. It's not like band practice where you see a group of your friends like probably weekly, if not every 2 weeks. You build this camaraderie and you just sort of feel one another after a while. Right,
right. Right.
Whereas theater, it's a shortened schedule, and then you might not see those folks again.
It's short and intense.
For months. Yeah.
And then everybody disappears and everybody cries for a month.
No, it's summer camp.
It's like summer camp. Right. Yeah. But then as soon as it's done, everybody's exhausted and cries.
That's super fair, because in theater too, you're doing a piece that's already kind of created, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But when you're in a band, you can just say, "Let's create our own type of thing," and
not
just give her.
Not necessarily with theater, though. You can. There's a lot of shows that are started from scratch.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm not speaking. Taking away the artistic side of it by any means, but I'm just saying overall, the only thing I have to compare it to is just playing in a band. So yeah. I don't know much about theater other than you guys or what Steph has told me.
Oh boy,
that's really funny.
Well, oh dear.
Anyway, Robin, it's not all about you.
Yeah, God.
Zoe, let's talk about some of your earlier stuff before the Magic Machine came your way.
Before Magic Machine. This was also my first band. And I've been doing theater for a few years before that. I mean, technically, you know, school plays ever since I was a kid, but I don't think anyone really counts that.
That's a resume. It counts. You know, I might still put my when I worked at the drugstore on my resume if I'm trying to get a better job.
If you're trying to fill it up, you know, make it look really impressive and long. I also did a lot of musical theater because. Pretty much, when you're young, like, that's what is available to you to start out with is musical theater. So you kind of have to, if you want a part, you got to sing, you know?
Right.
That's always been a part of my life, I guess.
Yeah, that's cool. And how has the adjustment been to just being, like we were just talking about, like, I'm going to band practice?
It has been really nice because I do like the regularity of it, like the weekly aspect of like just knowing that's happening and getting to not having to say goodbye once you're finished. And also just the way you can like change things. Like when you're working on a show, it's very much like this is the plan that we have and we have to like get to this point and we have to reach this specific goal of what we want it to look like. Mm-hmm. And then we do that for 2 weeks and then goodbye. Whereas like we can, if we're like, you know, we've been singing this song this way for a while, but what if we change it and do it differently? Like there's no time limit, so you can get creative.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love the creativity when it comes to going to like a jam or a band practice. Mm-hmm. And that comes to my next question. And I'm not trying to jump ahead because we're going to pull back a little bit. Joel being the band master, does he give you guys some creative freedom to like put in your stuff? Or is he like, it's going to be like this? Like me, like I do with my guys.
I don't know what we're allowed to say here.
No,
I don't know. You're asking in front of him.
Maybe we'll save that. We'll save that question for a little later. Okay. So,
I'll start and I'll say that like a lot of the song, like I brought them to the group and there's 8 of us, right, in the Magic Machine, and I say, okay, here's the beat and here's what I'm singing and I think there's harmonies here. I don't know what those harmonies are, and we also need some sort of riff and beats. So like. Everybody brought their own thing to the table, I would say.
He lets us have at her, mostly. Yeah. And then we just tune things, and he can tell us if things sound crappy.
Exactly.
But he's usually really, really supportive and like, wow, guys, that's amazing. You're all amazing.
You
just leave with the biggest
band.
Ego.
We have a happy band.
Leave back with the best band ever.
One thing I've learned from being in a band all these years is that, you know that... saying like there's too many cooks in the kitchen type of thing. Sometimes you need someone to just kind of set the direction.
Yes.
And you guys can, or anybody, I'm not just saying you guys, but the other people in the band absolutely have creative freedom to like put in their own style, their own feel, their own personality and stuff. But you need a direction. If everybody is kind of like shooting ideas from all over the place, you don't get very far. You know what I mean?
You need someone who has the final word, like the final say on what stays and what goes. Yeah. And I think for both me and Robin, coming from theater backgrounds, you're very used to having...
Stage manager.
A director who like says, you know, like, this is what we're doing creatively. Like, no, I don't like that or I do like that. But you also have a stage manager who's there to tell you, hey, everybody shut the fuck up. Get back to work.
Yeah, you do your thing and do it awesome and do it the way you need to do it, but... let's exactly. stay on this same kind of straight line and stuff like that. And it's yeah. all going
to
come
You have
up
to get
sure.
kind of used to that, like...
Yeah.
I started that. I have no idea.
Today, Junior?
I don't know where that sentence was going. So okay. that's
Yeah, but that's good. And you guys, the beauty of it is that here's the chemistry in music, I think, or bands, is that if you do have somebody who has an idea or has like a direction, and you all can work together, and there's not those people, one guy who's feeling all like butthurt in the corner, mm-hmm. like, well, I wanted to do like a blah, 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 or something, you know what I mean? The beauty of it is the hardest thing in bands, from my experience, is to find some people to work with that you all, like, obviously I can tell, and you guys have been friends outside of the band in this, mm-hmm. that you all get along and you all can work together, even if there's a certain direction, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's really, really important. Chemistry in a band is the most important thing in the world, and Joel knows that.
Yeah, I do, and... Like, I think in this band, and you guys, this is both your first band, you're both quite lucky because the Magic Machine is, like, we all just get along so well.
The nicest people in the world, god dang.
And when it comes to creative things, like, we'll play a song, and, like, I'm a big believer of, you know, like, we can record the track, and we gotta be perfect in the studio, but then every other time, if you fuck up, I don't care. If we wanna add a verse, let's do it. If we wanna jam it out, like, we can play this live however we want. Yep. And then if we haven't recorded a song yet and someone says, you know what, I got an idea for this, you know, it's a different harmony, or why don't we try this lick? Why don't we stop here? Like, let's try it out. And then we as a consensus, there's been a few instances of that at band practice where we just sort of play it a couple times and then now let's do it this way. And then we just move on. You know, it's really nice. None of us are jerks.
None of us are jerks. That's good too. And it all kind of comes out in the wash. And in the end, it's just like everyone's going to know what sounds right. You know what I mean? And hopefully you guys are good enough friends. If something doesn't sound right, you'll say, that might not be the best thing to do.
You know who's really good at
not
that?
Not like, you suck!
Brad is so good at hearing little minute things. And anytime that we have something that we're not sure about, I always look at Brad because he knows so much about music and he's such a good guitar player. But he also just... has a really good ear and can tell if something's slightly off, and he doesn't explain why, but he can definitely identify and fix it. Mm-hmm.
And then between the eight of us, we can figure out what it was.
Yeah, and then whenever he has input, it's always so legit, and it makes everything sound a million times better. Yeah.
Robin and I will be sitting there for like 5 minutes trying to figure out what is wrong with this harmony, and then Brad will just be like, "Oh, well, it's because, you know, you should be going minor on that," and I'll be like, "What?" And we'll just try it. I'm like, you just fixed it. You just said like one thing and fixed our entire problem that we couldn't figure out.
Yeah, that's the beauty of working with people too. And if you get along and you can express that kind of stuff. And I've brought, like, I'm the sole songwriter for what I do in the band Goat. And sometimes I'll get like really kind of fixated. And I don't mean to be a jerk about it, but I'll be like, I really want it like this. And I'll play it. And Polly, the bass player, will look at me and be like, I got one suggestion for you, and I'll just get kind of firm about it. No, I like it the way it is, and he'll tell me this thing, and I'll try it. And I'm like, wow, that was really good. It's good to have that input. You know what I mean? Because you guys are all talented people, and you all like have performed, and you know music, and you know like and whether it's on a stage, doing like theater stuff, or whether it is on a stage at a bar doing like a live band, it's all performance art, right? Mm-hmm. So you want it all to go well, and you're all parts of that machine. So, yeah.
Literally.
Oh, that magic machine.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Well, that was a good intro. Let's give people something to listen to. We're going to play a song. What do you guys want to hear?
The one that was released today.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yes, released today. Probably not the today that your listeners are listening to.
Oh, yeah, right.
But whatever. It was released the October 29th, Round My Heart Again. I'm sure you'll love it.
Round My Heart Again. All right, this is Jumpin' Joel Flash and the Magic Machine. This is Round My Heart Again. This is Ego and Vice, episode 51.
My heart and ran as far as you can run away. thing. As long as you keep hanging round my heart again. Round my heart again. You made a promise to me that I saw you break it. We've never been apart, it's been so long this time, and I don't wanna see you climbing round my heart again. Round my heart again. You let me in, oh, and then you broke my heart. You let me in. You hide behind the veil of purity and sin. And I don't have to pray to see that you don't want me. The door will be unlocked when you come round my heart again. Round my heart again. You let me in, oh, and then you broke my.
In the band, that's right.
Eight people. Like, when you started this, it must have been you just playing, writing some songs. Mm-hmm. And like, where did it come from where you're like, you know what, I'm going to get Zoe and Robin out. Like, it'd be three of us. Mm-hmm. It'd be the Ghost Lights. Because the first time I saw you guys, like I said, was in Quebec at that show. And I had never seen a acoustic act with, like, backup singers. And I'm like, oh, this is different. And then... how many years later you've added 17 more people to the band?
Yeah,
like, what was the vision from the beginning? Was this how you always planned it? You're just like, oh, you're good. And then just like, we need more? Or?
This is how it's always been planned, yeah. Everything we've been doing so far has all been part of this grand plan. I don't know if I mentioned that to these guys before.
Yeah,
okay.
I knew it.
Okay, good.
Well,
good.
Actually, yeah, because before you even asked us to sing backup for you, you had these little cards that was like, hey, I'm Joel. I'm building a big band. Like,
come make music with me.
You know, come make music with me. And it was just like, this was just like this master plan. You're like a super villain, but really nice. You
yeah.
Know?
Thank you.
Super nice That's villain.
Super nice
yeah,
villain.
Super nice villain.
Super nice villain.
Super nillin.
Super nillin?
Mm. But I used to listen to, well, I was in a big band. My first band was like Allman Brothers thing. We've talked about that before on your other podcast, Barrel House. And it was between 8 and 10 people at any one given time. And I just love making music with a bunch of people, with a bunch of friends, for that dynamic of, what do you guys think about this? Or, you know what, you sing this song instead of me, you know, because it livens up a show, right, if there's a lot going on. And I just like having fun with friends.
Yeah, of course.
But I knew I wanted a big band. I didn't know what the makeup specifically would be until I did My Fair Zombie and heard you guys sing. And it was like, oh my God, musical theater folk really know how to harmonize.
So what is the band? Why don't you run that down? Like, who is part of this eight-piece band, and what are the instruments, and how has this all come together?
Okay, so I'm the bandmaster, Joel. I play acoustic guitar and sing lead vocals. These two, Zoe and Robin, the Ghost Lights, they also sing lead vocals on a few songs, as well as backup vocals on other songs. And I would say you guys also bring Zazz.
Oh, that's funny. I was going to say pizzazz. Look at this.
That's why we get along.
You guys bring pizzazz.
That's what we bring.
And excellent dance moves. Just saying.
We're so good at dancing.
Now,
the musical theater did not teach us that.
Name another.
Well, it taught you, maybe, not me.
No.
Name another band member, Zoe.
Well, then next came Brad.
Next came Brad with unbelievable guitar skills.
Yeah.
Yes.
Joel, you have some history with, because you're friends, but you've also played in other projects.
That's
together.
Right. Yep. In the Bunnies, as you'll recall. Mm-hmm. His guitar is still drilled and stuck to the stage at the Rainbow.
It is.
Yes,
if anyone goes to the Rainbow Bistro down on Murray Street and you see the stage and you look up, I think if you're facing the stage up on the high right, there's a, I think it's like a Fender Stratocaster.
No.
Or perhaps a knockoff.
It is
of.
Definitely a knockoff, yes.
And it is drilled into the trim of the ceiling. Mm. That is from this group here, parts of the group.
Yeah,
and they just left it because it was so awesome.
Yeah, it's still there. That's crazy.
The pickup should still work if you plug it in and crank around with it. Now, Robin, who else is in the band?
Well, there's Kim Valentine, your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I guess, was the next person to join because you wrote The Rain together.
Mm-hmm.
And she's playing ukulele as well as Hype Woman.
Yes. She's hype.
She's hype. And well, hype I think it was a lot of it was because we were just coming over every week and hanging out in your basement. And she was like, well, I want to come down and hang out with you guys.
And then
too,
she was,
so
I want to learn the ukulele.
I guess I'm going to play music.
Okay, I guess I'm doing it now.
And we're like, thank God. Finally, you're down here. Not ignoring us, Kim.
Upstairs.
And come play with us.
And you know, we're joking, but like that's how art should happen organically, right? And that's how it went down. That's how it went down. And then rounding out our crew, I don't remember
who was next.
You added them all three at the same time.
Oh.
They were all around the same time anyway.
That's true. Ashley Newell on bass, who you'll be having next week.
Next week he'll be here, yep.
Caroline Arnone on the keys.
The keys.
Latin keys. She brings Latin jazz background with her. And Jason Colson.
A genius on drums.
Yeah, he plays everything. Like he played keys in Phantom of the Opry, and it wasn't until the show was over that I found out that drums were his first instrument. Hmm. And he Phil Collins is it when he plays with his stuff. Like he's singing lead, playing, and that is hard.
To sing and play drums?
Yes.
Yeah, dude, to do them, well, probably not super hard, but to do them both well, yeah.
Bro.
Yes,
but he also at the same time.
You may drum set, I'll sing it, but it doesn't mean it's going to be good.
What are you going to say?
Well, he also plays drums and piano at the same time and is singing. So piano, drums, and singing at the same time.
He's very talented.
Also, I remember when we were doing My Fair Zombie, there was one day where I just came out of the dressing room and all of the musicians were playing the wrong instruments perfectly. They all just switched instruments.
Fucking show off, say.
Because why not? Because why not?
Because that's what they do. Sorry, I thought you were going to tell the story of how you said something really inappropriate to Jason.
Oh,
but
no! Oh, yeah. Are we bringing this back?
That sounds like a good podcast story.
I'm really good at first impressions. Well, I don't exactly remember what I said.
Well, you had come out and he had come out for first like rehearsal with the band, right? So there'd been separate rehearsals for Phantom of the Opry for stage and then separate rehearsals for the band. And then I brought it in together to meet everybody. And he set up his keys and you said something that could have been construed as filthy. I don't remember what it was.
Oh,
Robin.
I really can't remember.
It was something like,
hey,
I'm trying to remember. It was something like, hey, can I touch your...
Hey, can I touch your keyboard?
No, organ. Oh. That is the...
Oh, can I touch your organ?
Can
that's,
I touch
yes. that's so
your
much
organ?
Worse.
What do you say?
stared blankly.
Why? Why, certainly.
But I didn't even notice what I'd said. I didn't get it, but Joel was standing there and went... And I didn't know what that meant.
Smooth.
And it took me a minute.
Robin.
Real smooth. So you have eight people. Let's round this up. You have the bandmaster. You have the ghost lights, which is the two, Robin and Zoe, the singers.
Yes.
You have the keys. You have the drums. You have the bass guitar. You have a 7-foot-tall guitar player. And you have the drums. And that's eight people.
Yeah.
But when does the horn section come in?
Well, that's...
That's happened.
That's next.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've recorded an EP, and actually we can get to that. But the next EP will have horns.
Will they be hired horn, or will they be members of the Magic Machine?
Oh, hired horns. I like that as the name of the horn section.
Hired horns?
Hired horns.
Well, it's hard to keep horn players around. You know, they're very high demand.
High demand. Well, and also with the horn section, like, you don't need, like, more than three, let's say. And
wow, that's a lot of horns.
Trumpet, saxophone,
that's a really
trombone,
horny band.
Maybe?
Trumpet and two sax. Yeah, like maybe two saxes or a trombone. Anyway, something. No. But also with horns, like you play. They don't come out to every practice, right? If the gig's coming up, they're coming. Because horn players are always way better than like literally every other musician there. And like they don't show off, but then they're showing off anyway. And you're like, okay, guys, you don't really need to come to rehearsal, do you? Sorry, I'm a little mad.
It's fine. I mean, Joel, how did it go when you tried to learn trumpet?
You played the trumpet, a secret trumpet, a few times.
Did they go really
band.
Well?
No,
not,
no.
Not great.
In our shows, you've played.
Oh, that's true.
For, what was that song?
You Belong to Me from The Jerk.
Yeah, You Belong to Me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the final edition somewhere down the line will be the jazz flute.
That's correct.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, and recorder. Don't forget the recorder.
Oh, don't. No. Don't even do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay, I know, like the pan flute.
I do have a pan flute at home, so we could add it to the repertoire.
Is that the Zanfir thing?
It's like what little like fairies play, isn't it?
I guess so.
Joel has a whole box full of magical instruments that I'm not allowed to touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to actually. It's a tickle trunk of instruments that at first, when Zoe and Robin were coming by, I'm like, oh, hey, great. You know, I'll just put this by them, and you know, they'll figure out some shit. And then I had to literally take it away from Robin.
Okay, there was this big like maraca thing, and it had all these little like wooden balls on strings to the little walnut things on the outside, Hollowed and you would out. Shake it.
Yeah,
and, they were like beads, like giant beads that would clink against the outside of it. And
so, what do you play in the band? The little walnut thing,
the walnut shaking.
But you shook it so hard that a piece broke off and hit you in the tooth.
It almost broke my tooth.
Flew at your cut face. Off.
That's dangerous. Well, music is really a dangerous violent. Game, as you know.
Like, well, it sounds like you guys, even just sitting here, as the three of you have a lot of fun. How is the writing process once you, like, because I know you just recorded a record or an EP or a full record. Once you decided the band's together, let's start really putting this together. How did the pre-production or just the writing of the songs go? And how many did you get done? How many did you record?
That's a Joel question.
That is a Joel question. So I brought all the songs to the table. We have a set, if not a set and a half, of original material.
You seem to me like a guy who writes all the time, too. Like, you probably have more songs than you need.
Yeah, we definitely do. Because we've got the six. This will be our first EP when it's all done. Six songs on it. The next EP will be six. Then there's Phantom of the Opry, which we'll have to record, which is another 10. And I'll probably have to write another song for that, as well as incidental music. There's lots of tracks. And I've also got more. And Zoe writes songs, too. And we've got other songwriters in the band. So,
Ashley's
like, the next EP could be not an EP at all. It could be a full whatever, you know?
And on top of like what we talked about earlier, where it's like everyone has their own artistic idea of what should be in the song, do you bring them in just as an acoustic track and saying, this is the song I have, let's collaborate to get it together? Or do you already have something set in your mind where I really need the keys to do or the drums to be a certain beat, or I need the girl, like the ghost lights to, I have this like harmony in my brain? Or
it's been a mix of stuff, because I you know, I don't play any instrument other than the acoustic guitar, right? So I'd record a scratch track. If I could figure out the harmonies, I'd put some in, and I'm like, I think it's like you know.
You don't play the walnut thing?
No, I don't play the walnut. Leave that to Robin, of course, and she's retired from that game.
She touches organs.
That's
Jesus.
That's right. She does touches all the organs, and I had to not bring her to professional events any longer.
Well, you're allowed to say shaker now.
Yeah, so I'd bring the scratch tracks and then say, okay, so this is the general speed. And, you know, we just sort of fill in the gaps together. Okay. That's how we do it.
All right. Yeah, you'd be like, I think right here you guys should do like a pa-pa or like a ooh, just like something. Figure it out. Go.
Figure it out. Mm-hmm. And then they go off in the corner and figure it out.
And your music is, whenever I've seen you live, whether it just be the three of you or whether it be the, like the full band, whenever I see you play, you're a very theatrical person on stage. Mm. Hence, I guess, stemming from some the theater experience you have and from the band I once knew you as. Mm. And I find the transition between that band, which was very
hardcore,
hit you in the face type of thing, to where you are now. Are you purposely like taking it to a level where it's more acceptable for anything? Like, what do you want to do with the band? Do you want to just play bars at night, or do you actually have a goal to reach different areas?
I'm planning on taking this, like, we're going to be nationwide famous, to be sure, at least. Like, I've always wanted to be able to go out on the road and play solo shows, and I've never had a product to be able to do that with, right? And this is the first band, I guess, that I've been a part of that wasn't covers or playing a character, right? Because the Bunny is like, it was theater, whether we knew it or not. It was theater. Oh, it was. And we were all playing characters, and we're doctors and what have you. And because of that, you could just take it to crazy extremes. And that was the point of it. Whereas this, it's, these are songs that I wrote as me. And there's nothing fake about any of us. We're all still us, just maybe weird versions of us on stage.
Yeah. And when you're writing songs, is that idea what kind of keeps you in the idea of the content of the songs, or what influences you? And also, I want to hear what influences you guys have when it comes to music, because if you all have parts in the writing process, where do you channel your influence from as well?
I'm interested to hear it from Robin, because Robin, when she joined, refused to call this a country band. I'm telling you, this is a country band that we are in right now. But I always write music and then add the words afterwards every time. So when I'm writing lyrics, it's sometimes a word will pop out at me, but the content usually just comes from finding a few rhymes that work, and then a story builds from there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And is it like introspective stuff, or is it actually writing stories? You're trying to write stories in the song.
I'm just trying to write stories.
You're writing a little short novel type of idea.
I've fictional characters
in that?
Sometimes, maybe, but like, it's more like, how can you make a short story within a song? I've never felt emotion from lyrics before. Any song I've ever heard, never. I
remember you telling me that one time.
I feel more beat and rhythm, right? Like when I'm listening to a track, I'll always, and despite knowing all the lyrics, I think of them more as notes, right? And lyrics are always secondary. And if you feel emotion from our songs, it's fake. Sorry.
No, it's not. I am all about lyrics.
Okay. Me too.
Okay. I'm a lyric guy too.
I think we also need to let people know that Joel doesn't like food.
Joel doesn't
so
like
he cannot
food.
Be trusted.
He'd rather take a pill than eat a meal.
Yeah, just sustain, stay alive.
Yeah, just
well,
stay
sometimes
alive.
You just don't have time. You know, it's like, I don't feel like
it's
cooking.
One of the
I wish I could just.
Joys.
Yeah. Anyway, well, tell us about your musical influences, Robin.
Yeah, like when you're up on stage and stuff like that, or say you're put in a position where it's just like, okay, I think I hear something. Let me draw off some sort of like influence or experience that you enjoyed. You know.
Well, am I
country stars?
No. No. Yeah, I still don't like. Well, I don't like pop country. I've realized I've come to terms with the idea that there are some good country things, I guess.
Like
but
bluegrass,
kind of. Yeah, I like bluegrass a lot, and I like...
Like the old twangy stuff, or the...
I don't like too much twang, though. I'm kind of, it's funny, because Joel's freaking twangy AF.
It's well, the pop country, kind of like the trucks and twang.
I don't like
twang.
The barbecue stain we don't on sing, my white t-shirt.
Yeah, we don't sing about barbecues and trucks and beer. No trucks.
Commercialized country music right now is pretty soggy stuff.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't want people to think that is... what my band is.
Fair enough.
It's just a personal preference. To each their own, so I can see the place for those things.
Yeah.
My dad's a musician, so I
what does he play?
Bassoon and trombone and clarinet and flute and sings and trumpet, and just on and on and on. He's like...
So he's an actual musician.
Yeah,
musician.
He's
He's not a hack like me and
orchestra.
Joel.
That's right.
He's an orchestra musician, so I was just around music my entire childhood constantly,
talking to the microphone.
Oh, sorry, I got talking to the microphone.
That's the second time I've told you. If there's a third, you're
out
of here.
Crap! I have a microphone problem.
You can sit in the car.
You're a singer.
I know.
You just drop it up on your knee so you don't forget.
I'm used to having a head mic when I'm on stage. So,
let me write
holding
that down.
A microphone.
Next time, head
mic.
Okay, so
we give you the earbuds with the little phone speaker.
Yeah,
on it.
Yeah, a little foam thing, or the thing that's stuck to your head, the taped down microphone that hangs over your eyebrows.
That's not gonna happen. Talking to the microphone.
Yeah.
So
this is all I have. Anyway, I'm sorry.
So my dad, yeah, my dad was always playing music and I wouldn't even hear it. So I think I've absorbed it by osmosis because I would be on the phone with people and they would ask me about the noise in the background and I would say, what noise? It would be a bassoon.
White noise. What?
White noise.
White noise.
Maybe there were ghosts. Maybe. Just never knew.
Well, yeah, it's quite possible.
So what are you listening to right now?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Janelle Monáe right now. And of course, Mother Mother, whose album is dropping on November 2nd. Mother Mother.
Nice.
Oh,
that's coming up soon.
So excited.
And you also went to Montreal recently to see.
Oh, yes. I went to Montreal the other week to see Cupcake. Have you heard of Cupcake?
No.
She's got a track.
She has a track called Spoiled Milk Titties, which you might enjoy. It is very excellent.
Why would I enjoy it? Because
it's so...
I feel like I've been shined a bad light here.
It's a really
You look
funny
like a man
track.
Who yeah. enjoys Spoiled Milk Titties.
Spoiled Milk Titties. Anyway, Zoe,
hey.
Bail us out of this.
Oh, no.
On music. Now you're in another band as well.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay, good, because I don't have a lot of musical references to go off of, but yeah, I'm also in another band called Valois, in which I sing as well.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. I don't really consider myself a musician. I kind of play the guitar, but very badly. Yeah. And I was that kid who never shut up and would sing all the time, like in class, on the sidewalk, everywhere, until people just yelled at me to shut up. And now people don't tell me to shut up anymore. Ha ha.
That's right.
They pay to see you.
Sometimes. Sometimes I still annoy my coworkers by singing along with everything.
What kind of music is your other band?
It's almost as hard to describe. It's kind of...
And what's the makeup of it? Like, who's in it?
Yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah, so many things. It's kind of 1980s dreamy, angsty synth pop.
Okay.
I guess. I don't really know how to describe it. And it's the bandmaster in that one is my friend Charlie, who I went to high school with. On keys, there's my friend Sabrina. We have a drummer named Mike and our bassist Hamid. And so it's a smaller band, but
it's still pretty substantial
It's substantial. It's, you know, average. What's that? Five people. That's pretty standard.
That's still a good number.
Yeah.
You know, coming from a guy who's been in a three piece most of his life.
These are the two bands I've ever been in. So it's for me, I have big band and small band.
And how long have you been in that band?
About a year now, I guess. Okay. Yeah.
So you went from 0 to 120, I guess. Like, you're like,
pretty
no bands,
much.
Two
no bands,
bands.
Mm. All bands.
That's great, guys.
While also doing, like, these guys also do a bunch of theater stuff on the side, and they starred in a film that was at the Mayfair recently.
Yes, I really want to talk about that, because you guys are all here, and I won't get the opportunity again, because you probably never want to come back. But let's play another Magic Machine song. Jumpin' Joel Flash and the Magic Machine. What do you guys want to hear?
You guys get to pick one this time.
I already picked the first one.
Eleanor.
All right, cool. This is Eleanor by Jumpin' Joel Flash and the Magic Machine. This is Ego and Vice, episode 52.
Fine on the outside, but in I'm tired and worn. I can't say goodbye. Lord knows that I've tried.
Down along in the streets of Ontario,
darling. my only, my sweet Illinois. Of your skin, your smile, and my arms, and maybe we can be happy again.
So how was the recording process?
It was great. We used this studio downtown called Real Studios. It's at Rideau and Dalhousie. And that was really handy because it was easy for all of us to get to.
Yeah.
Really easy. It was kind of like herding cats sometimes.
Eight people,
yeah. So I just sort of broke it down beforehand saying, okay, it'll have to be four separate sessions and just, you know, break it up. Make sure the timing all worked. That was actually quite a process throughout the summer we did. Yeah.
And when did you start?
When start recording? July, late July we got in there.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
And you then did, we, and you did, you said you did six songs?
We recorded five.
Five songs.
We recorded The Rain last year and we made that music video and we released it in January. And so the songs that we started releasing on October 1st, five in total, when it's all done, will be part of the six song EP that took all of 2018 to come out.
And it's all it's all been with Tev Burke, who is wonderful.
Yes.
He was your engineer or your producer?
Yeah. He's our engineer.
He's great.
And he's just amazing. Generally good dude.
Yeah.
He let us eat all those chips.
Yeah. He gave us a lot of chips.
All his Doritos.
Mm-hmm.
Probably twice.
That's like when you play at Avant Garde and Alex puts out that bowl of cheesies for you.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, goddamn, I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
He got us a cake to celebrate our first album.
That's true, yeah. Our last session in, like, yeah, they brought us a cake. Happy first EP.
Well,
it's like, wow.
And he's just he's really into it, and he's great, very professional.
And is it self-titled, or is it...
Well, actually, the title of the EP is yet to be said out loud.
Okay. Ooh. Do you want to drop that here?
No, I do not.
You don't deserve it.
No, when the
just
final
song...
Just
eat your donut, man.
Yeah. when the final song is released, we'll toss out the EP name.
And, all right. Final so, piece of the puzzle. I guess you have a release show coming up.
That's correct. So, you know, we've been releasing the songs, from 5 new songs, 2 weeks at a time. The first was October 1st. There's now 3 out as of this recording. We're recording this on the 29th. But there's 2 more to come, and then 2 weeks after that final song is released... is our EP release, Prom.
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 Did you just accidentally drop the name of the EP?
No.
Nope.
That's the name. That's the name of the party.
Okay.
Because our EP release show is not just a show. It's a mini festival. It's a prom. We're having a prom.
I've noticed on social media, whether it be Facebook or Instagram, you do something called a Flashcam Friday.
That's correct.
And I've seen lately that you have small interviews with the band members.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about what's your favorite song and what's your favorite song on prom. Prom, is that right?
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry, like, I may have screwed that up. But
No. Like, what's got them excited for prom?
For prom. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, pardon me. So, And that's really neat. You know what I mean? And I think that's a really good thing to do with social media is just kind of, like you said, you only release a song every, like, couple of weeks and that. And it keeps me interested. I'm like, ooh, what's this?
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So, and you're a marketing guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have that under your belt. So you're like sneaking one out, sneaking that behind all of us. We're like, why is this so enjoyable? Because Joel knows what he's doing.
That's talking about that. Joel. That's corporate Joel rearing his head. Oh, he's always
not
around.
Not always the bad guy. That's
true.
You can take Joel out of the corporate, but you can't take the corporate out of the Joel.
You cannot.
No.
So I'm gonna shamelessly shill about our prom here for a second. So we're having it at Makerspace North. Which is a warehouse space. There's going to be 2 stages, burlesque dancing, 2 other bands. There's going to be a trade show section called The Promenade. There's going to be a prom royalty contest. And I guess I do have to admit, we do have a prom committee, but like I'm hesitant.
I mean, Joel, maybe you should just
Are you going to have
stop,
a king and queen
like,
presentation?
Well, that's the prom royalty. Actually, you know,
well,
you really shouldn't
I'm
talk to Joel
also
about this because
prom
he doesn't
committee
know a lot.
Queen.
That's
so
not
really well, that I'm, is what this is about.
We're co-prom committee presidents.
I am prom committee queen.
That's not a title.
One at a time. One at a time.
And
ghost lights. One at a time here.
it's actually a problem because the prom committee is, you know, we do get along normally, but these guys have been fighting quite a bit over who is the president or queen of the prom committee.
So
well, it's whoever has the clipboard, and right now it's
let's
me.
Let's solve this right
so.
Now. Zoe, state your case.
Okay. I am prom committee president, and Robin is co-president, but she doesn't like that.
No,
so
we started this together, Zoe. We were in it together, and I've obviously proven myself much more capable, and I have found a crown for myself.
Okay, well then we would be co-presidents. You can't be queen.
Yeah, but
no
I have the
queen.
Crown.
Like that's what so, the, that's what we people vote
no,
for.
Are,
like,
do you know any
get
president that has a crown?
No,
first
that
of all.
Doesn't the. Crown doesn't make
so you.
So
as you can see,
queen.
The show's really coming together
no,
well.
Zoe,
so Joel,
yeah.
So
how was your week?
I
was great.
Decided that I
it
wanted
great.
To make
a good time.
Some
I was a little tired, you know.
Yeah.
And I got
yeah.
the whole group
yeah.
to make.
Sometimes
you
know,
what,
you know, I wake up and I feel like more tired than anything. But I'm getting older, you know. What are you gonna do?
We were cutting out stars. And how many
did you cut out?
You know what?
But as a unit, we do really get along well, though, don't we?
Yeah,
we get along great.
Absolutely.
All right, time out. Go to prom.
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
The 8th of December, Makerspace North, you are going to have more fun than you'll ever possibly imagine. But I got to tell you, there's only 100 tickets available and they are already 35% sold out.
And I think you already said the date, but what's the date one more time?
December 8th. It's a Saturday and it starts at 7 o'clock. So, hey, you're going to still be home like before midnight.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a great evening.
Yeah, and you know, it's right before Christmas and you're going to be all like stressed out from all that shopping. Go and blow off some steam at prom.
That's right.
Get dressed up. Is there a dress code?
dress for prom, you know?
Uh-huh.
So
obviously.
There is, we are having the prom royalty contest, which will be voted on by the members of the audience. But, you know, like, would you show up to a formal event in the t-shirt and the shirt? I mean, you could dress, actually, if you wanted to come dressed as Freddie Mercury, that'd be fine.
It's been a long time since I busted out my powder blue tuxedo.
Oh yes.
Please.
Absolutely,
that's
please.
All I want.
Extra frilly.
Yes.
Fit in. Oh my gosh. Baby. Anything prom. It can be any era. If you're of an older generation, you can wear your prom outfit from your generation if you from still have it in your possession and it still fits around your waist.
As you say older generation, again, you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah. I didn't mean you, but because you already got the powder blue suit. That's got to happen.
Just, for sure.
It was passed down. It's an heirloom. You know?
And if you want to dress in a specific era of prom, and you're not from that era, that's fine too.
And you guys are going to be debuting the whole EP in its entirety?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to be out there by that point for 2 full weeks. The whole thing will be out. And we'll be playing every song from it, as well as a bunch of other songs that we just haven't gotten around to recording yet, because that's how much original content we have.
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Where are we at now? 47 minutes minus music. Let's play. Do we have one more song?
We do have one more song to play.
Let's do it.
This is the last one. Can you name it, Zoe?
I did Eleanor. This is your
turn. Oh, it's You Still Got Me. That's the song.
All right. This is Jumpin' Joel Flash and the Magic Machine. This is You Still Got Me. This is Ego and Vice, episode 52. You guys behave.
No.
Never.
So we covered a bunch of Jumpin' Joel Flash and the Magic Machine, of what's going on, where you guys have been, all the stuff that you've done, and congratulations on all that, too.
Thank you.
The vision started from this crazy, crazy guy here, and you guys have all shared in that, and you guys are all part of it now, and there's amazing things to come, and prom is going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing.
We'll plug that one more time at the end, but let's go individually of just, like, you said you, like, I know, like I said, I know you guys as, like, actors as well. Before I get into Murder in High Heels, where's Ouija Shark? What's going on around here?
Oh, wow, I don't know. Yeah. I wish it was out. It was supposed to be out during Shark Week, which would have been sweet.
But I really enjoyed Countryside.
Sweet. Thank
which
you.
Joel and Robin were in. And then that was a Brett Kelly production.
It was.
And then he filmed Ouija Shark, which my band Goat wrote a song for.
I did not know that.
Oh, I'll play it for you later.
Please do.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Remember when me and Steph played the barbecue fest in Canada?
Oh, yeah, we played that
or
too,
Carp
didn't we?
Or something.
In Carp, yeah, we played that too.
You played
the
day before.
Yeah.
And I ran into Brett and I said, I know Steph was going to be in Ouija Shark, and I said, I have this really weird idea. I was sitting at home like watching TV and I came up with this kind of weird little riff, and I went to Brett when I saw him at the barbecue fest and I said, I know you're doing Ouija Shark. Can I write something like a song? Can my punk band do a song for the end credits?
Oh my God.
Not even in the thing. It's like, you know, like at the very end of like a movie where it's just like, hooray, we made it. And then all of a sudden the shark comes out of the water and then it cuts to black.
Yeah.
And then the credits start rolling. I wanted the song to be right there. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, write it. So I ended up writing this song called Ouija Shark.
Oh my God.
We went up to our producer in Pembroke and we recorded it.
Oh
and I submitted it to Brett and he's like, I love it. Yeah, it's great. It's in the movie. And I'm still sitting, and this has got to be well over a year now.
Yeah.
And I actually sent him a text. I'm like, where the fuck is Ouija Shark?
I think we all want to know.
It's development hell, but we're still like got our hopes up fingers crossed and whatever. Yeah. But anyway, I'm sorry.
You're pretty upset.
The same question when we went to Quinty Film Fest. I was like, okay, I understand that we're premiering this movie and it's, you know, it's our big fancy movie, whatever. Where is Ouija Shark?
That's what the people crave.
He's like, yeah, pretty much.
Everybody
the same thing,
asked
you know,
me about that movie specifically.
Like when I heard you guys were making it, and I was like, oh my God, and Steph's in it too, and like all these friends and Amy and all, you know, I could not contain my excitement before you'd even started filming, because like you know what it's going to be about before.
Oh, yeah.
Before
the title says,
I mean, it says it all. And so it makes you want it, and then to sort of dangle it in front of us.
Well,
you know?
The thing is for me too is because when I went and saw Countryside, we went to the Mayfair, and I had my popcorn, and you guys were sitting like right beside me, and it was like we were watching the Countryside, and there you guys were on the big screen and everything. And then when Ouija Shark got made, and me and Steph are like really good friends, I was like, you're gonna be on the you're gonna be on the screen, we'll eat popcorn and all this stuff. So I thought it was gonna be the same process. It's been a grind.
Well, it might happen. We'll cling to hope.
Maybe like a smaller, like maybe we'll get like a rental space. And
yeah, we'll have a viewing party.
Don't know why it hasn't been released yet.
Well, we'll just harass Brett. Anyone listening to this, send a message.
Send
to
a
Brett
message
Kelly.
Saying,
Brett Kelly.
Where's Ouija Shark?
We already did. He didn't ask. We want to see Ouija Shark.
The people demand it.
The people demand it.
Maybe the last song in this podcast will be Ouija Shark.
Yeah, please do.
But please tell us about Murder in High Heels.
Was always the star.
And the star.
Silver screen star.
No, it's kind of an homage to the classic film noir genre. Mm-hmm. And everyone worked really hard on it. And I think we did a pretty good job. And it's really fun. I play the typical femme fatale kind of character. You know, I wear a whole lot of slips and robes.
And what's it about? Like, I guess it's based in like what, the 30s?
Or the 40s? To late 40s, okay, 40s, I believe. It was our time period that we were going for. And we did it, yeah, pretty much minimal budget, but you know, did the best with what we had. And I think it ended up looking actually pretty good.
Have you seen the picture?
I have seen the picture, the talkies.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, it first premiered at the Quinty Film Fest, which is in Trenton, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we saw it there with, you know, like the five locals that came out to see it.
Oh, whatever. It was at a film festival.
Those five people have seen more than, anyway, go on.
Yeah, no, it was really great. But then getting to see it in Ottawa with such a full theater and getting to hear the audience reactions, you know.
Yeah, it was packed.
It was a really good feeling, and getting the reception and the the accolades and the compliments afterwards, of course, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. makes you feel really good.
And what's your character's name?
Ivy.
Ivy.
I don't think she has the last name.
Oh, okay.
I'm not so sure.
And Robin, you're in that movie as well?
Mm-hmm. I played the wife, the hard done by wife, ever struggling.
Ivy steals her
Ivy's
man.
Ivy's so rude.
Oh. Yeah.
You bitch.
I'm
gave me
monstrous.
Some spoiled milk titties mm-hmm. over that.
Spoiled milk titties.
I want to give a shout out to the filmographers of it, actually. Yeah. I saw it. It's all in black and white. And Jeff Campbell filmed it all. And it looks phenomenal.
Helen Cremades.
Cremades. Well.
They are a pair of fantastic cinematographer people in town. Mm-hmm. They're great to work with.
And Janice Fitzsimmons did hair and makeup, and she did, like, because it's black and white, you have to do like special makeup. So I was walking around with blue contour and black lipstick and green eyeshadow.
Right, looking
totally normal. But on screen, it looks very classic. Yeah.
Oh, man. And the costuming by Pam Chartrand. Is that how she says her
I
name?
I think it's just Chartrand.
Chartrand. I don't know.
I'm not sure. Sorry,
is she Pam. English or French? Can't tell.
That was like back in the, I don't know if it was 40s or 50s, where like there was the George Reeves Superman serial.
Mm.
And it was all in black and white. And if you saw it in color, his Superman suit's like green and like red and shit. Weird. Just because it transfers better in black and white.
It looks better.
Yeah, it's interesting. So.
Robin, you were amazing in that film. What? We didn't work together at
all. Zoe was amazing. But, we didn't even see each other on set once.
Yeah, because our characters never crossed paths, but so it was really nice seeing what the other people did.
And other than, is it still playing at the Mayfair?
No.
Okay,
no,
and other than that, where can we find that kind of stuff? That picture?
I believe Brett is still talking about development deals for distribution. Mm.
And when they do the film festival circuit, you can't really get them anywhere other than the film festivals are screening at.
That'll be afterwards.
Yeah. Okay. And what do you guys have coming up individually? Whether it be theater, I know prom's coming up, Jump into a Flash and the Magic Machine. Yeah, you guys have got that project, but we covered that really, really well. So what do you guys got coming up individually, Zoe?
Right now I'm doing a lot of, I do Eddie May Murder Mystery Dinner Theater, which we have a lot of shows coming up for. We're at the Red Lion on Clarence Street, which they may change the name, but it's still, I think, 47 Clarence Street. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. It's on the corner. But that's really fun. I get to do a lot of those over the holiday season. Get to interact with the audience and stuff. So it's fun. Come out and see it.
And plug your other band. You got any shows coming up?
Currently, I don't think we have any schedule. We might have one in December. I don't know. Can I let you know after if I find out?
No.
Okay, too bad.
Of course you can. And Robin, what's going on?
I'm kind of taking it easy. It's been great. I've been kind of living life as my real self for a while, which is weird. I got my hair cut the way my real Robin would get her hair cut. It's really strange because I've done theater for so long that I realized I started making excuses to my hairdresser going, I'm really sorry I have to cut my hair, but I just want to live my authentic self for a little bit. I don't know what you're saying. I'll just give you this great haircut. Yeah. How about that?
No, it looks great.
But yeah, I haven't been growing my hair to match my headshot. I'm just kind of taking it easy and doing artsy things. I feel very fulfilled in the place we're living in, which is awesome. Mm. There's art everywhere.
You want to shout out to your beau?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Jared.
Hi.
Hi.
And the band master.
Once prom's over, the EP's out, and I'm going to basically apply the band to every festival that exists. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get us in for, like, just apply to a bunch of things. Other than that, I weekly host the open mic at Live in Elgin on Tuesdays.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's awesome.
It's fun, and like, there's more talent, like, young people, like, the things that are coming out of them is crazy. I love hosting it, and I love seeing all that talent there and being a part of it. Other than that, just trying to make Ottawa as awesome as it can be.
I respect that. And before I cut this off, it's like, that's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon whole thing, where Ashley's going to be on the show next week.
Mm-hmm.
I met Ashley when he hosted the open mic at Live on Elgin.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into the story, but it's just like, now he's your bass player.
Bass, that's
and
right.
That's where I met him. And that's why you guys are here. And that's why he's going to be on the show next week.
Hilarious.
And it's just like, wow, that's everything is so funny.
That's a very Ottawa story.
Yeah.
That's it. It's like, everybody knows everybody.
Everybody knows everybody.
Do you guys have any last words? We're going to wrap this up.
We love GOAT.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Goat's, yeah, Goat's good band.
We love him.
He is a good guy.
He's a good goat.
We love him. I love him.
Oh, yeah, Goat is on a bit of a break until the new year. We're just going to kick back and re-record the record that we did in the spring because it didn't work out very well.
Oh.
Yeah, but now that Sarah's back in the band, we want to redo it with her parts and all that stuff. And whatever. So, yeah, and I'm going on tour with the Riptides, and you guys got prom coming up, plus all your amazing, amazing artistic things, and you guys make Ottawa better to be in, better to be entertained in, and the only reason this podcast exists is to promote things just like this. And that's all I want to do.
Thanks for what you do, Mike.
That's all I want to do. So I would really, really want to thank you guys for being on. And this is a song called... This is the last song of the podcast. Ooh. And this is the hidden track on an unreleased Goat... I don't know, whatever. Brett, let's all do this together. Hey, Brett, where's Ouija Shark?
Where is it?
Yeah. Need it.
This is a song called Ouija Shark. This is Goat. This is Ego and Vice, episode 52.
Something mean. Now everybody's dead. It's the Ouija Shark. Fast forward. Pool party with some friends. Boring kittens getting frisky. Not a single care in them. One by one they'll fall. He will eat them all. Big or small. Why is this happening again? Now you've summoned something from the deep. Something dark and something mean. Now everybody's dead. It's the Ouija Shark. Summon something from the deep, something dark and something mean. Now everybody's dead. Now you summon something from the deep, something dark and something mean. Now everybody's dead. Now you summon something from the deep, something dark and something mean. Now everybody's dead. Now you summon something from the deep, something dark and something mean. Now everybody's dead. It's the Ouija Shark. Everybody's dead.
Fuck you, fish face.
If you want to get a hold of me, you can always email me at egoandvice@gmail.com. If you want to listen to the podcast, you can go to egoandvice.com. I'm available on iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic, Facebook, and anywhere you could find a podcast. Just search Ego and Vice. I should be there. Thanks a lot. This has been another pretty fun episode. And we'll see you next week. This has been episode 52.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Wanna raise the anxiety, babe.